I'm Jonathan Capehart, and welcome to Capehart. Shirley Chisholm was a groundbreaker. She was the first Black woman elected to Congress in 1968. And she was a trailblazer in 1972 when she became the first Black candidate to run for a major party's presidential nomination, a campaign where she famously declared that she was unbought and unbossed, a campaign by a consequential, historic figure very few people know anything about. But that's about to change. Shirley Chisholm and her presidential campaign are the subject of the new movie Shirley, which debuts on Netflix on March 22nd. In the title role is Academy Award-winning actress Regina King. In this conversation, first recorded for Washington Post Live on March 19th, King talks about why it took 15 years to get this movie made, the role Congresswoman Barbara Lee played in the film's unfolding story, and the enduring legacy of Shirley Chisholm.
We have a Hillary Clinton, President Barack Obama, and all of the other Black or female politicians that ran for president or ran for a office higher than a council member. I think we can thank Shirley.
I'm gonna fangirl out all throughout this, so you're just forewarned. Let's talk about Shirley. This film has been a passion project for you and your sister, Raina, for the last 15 years. What drew you both to Shirley Chisholm's story?
I guess first and foremost, the fact that growing up, even in our young adult years, so many people had never even heard her name. And it just seems like for her to, I feel like, be such a part of the American fabric, and people not know her name, not know just what she represents, as far as someone having the guts and the audacity to do what at that time seemed impossible, or like a fool's journey. Not only was it not a fool's journey, she represented the possibility of what can be done when a person is audacious.
Right. You know, a lot has changed in the United States politically in the 15 years that you've been trying to get Shirley made. How did our present day political landscape inform your understanding of all she was up against back then?
You know, Jonathan, I'll be honest, I still marvel at how she was able to keep going and not give up. With all that she was up against back then, having the knowledge of what any politician, let alone a woman and Black, is up against now. I still marvel at the fact that she was able to do it and make it seem, as you know, we were doing our research, most of the things that we would see were her speeches, hearing her. There was a lot of audio that we got to get from the Schomburg, who was so great. I mean, that was like I had fallen into just a gift of Shirley wealth with the tapes that they had, because I got to hear her tell stories. And I went off on that. Mm-hmm. I went back in time. Having that, I totally lost my train of thought there.
That's okay, Regina, because I want to pick up on the fact that you listened to audio recordings of Shirley Chisholm, because I love this. In some of the notes in my research, I found you said, "I was faced with the biggest challenge ever with trying to embody this woman who is probably one of the most unique beings I've ever studied. Just her dialect alone was terrifying. That jumped out at me.
That was bourgeois politics. If all you're doing is outside yelling and screaming, that's all you're ever going to be. A yeller and a screamer. You have to be part of the process.
We gave folks a little bit of taste of Shirley Chisholm's dialect there. And I believe that's her talking to Congresswoman Barbara Lee, who wasn't a congresswoman back then. She was a young woman then. But talk about why you were so terrified by just sort of learning her dialect. And then we'll talk about the importance of Barbara Lee.
Right. Because Shirley is this amalgamation of her voice of a person born and bred in Brooklyn, a person that's from Bajan descent and spent her early years back in Barbados because her parents sent her and her sisters back to Barbados so that her grandmother can raise them while her parents worked and created a better space for them to live once they come back to Brooklyn, and also an intellect. So you've got the combination of all of that. And as I was listening to all of this audio of Shirley, I could hear where sometimes you could hear the Bajan a little more, sometimes you could hear Brooklyn a little more, sometimes you just heard the teacher, sometimes you just heard the scholar. And it was just fascinating the places in which you heard the mashup of all three, or where one style of her dialect was coming through stronger than others. And I had to choose when and where those changes were gonna happen. But it also was a great study of human beings, because then I started paying attention to all people, like family members mm-hmm. and friends, and our dialect changes depending on who we're talking to, depending uh-huh. on who we're talking about. And so just determining when to lean more into the Bajan or lean more into the scholar or lean more into speaking quickly or when to, because she would slow it down sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes speed it up and be like lightning speed. And I'm just like, how did she say all that without running out of breath? Oh my God.
to your point, you know, the way we are speaking right now, Regina King, would be a lot different than if we were together in a together over drinks.
Absolutely. mm-hmm.
So let's talk about Congresswoman Barbara Lee, because, and we just showed the clip of Barbara Lee being talked to by Shirley Chisholm, because she tells Shirley Chisholm, and Congresswoman Lee told me this story herself. She told Shirley Chisholm, Congresswoman Chisholm, that she wasn't even registered to vote. Congresswoman Chisholm said to her, little girl, you better go register and vote. What did you learn from Congresswoman Lee about Shirley Chisholm and how Shirley Chisholm impacted her life?
I think one of the things that like stuck with me the most in talking to Representative Lee is that, and sometimes I call her Barbara, sometimes Representative Lee, something about Shirley, like she kind of had this secret power of being able to see in people what they didn't see in themselves, especially young people. And she was a young mom at the time, and people see when they tune into the film just her position in politics and just that conversation with Shirley, how it just kind of turned her all the way around as far as just how her regard for the political process and her regard for herself in the political process. And Barbara Lee is part of Shirley's legacy. You know, I think Shirley Chisholm would be so proud to see that that Barbara Lee, she was lucky enough to see her run and win and celebrate that. And but to see her to continue to, as Shirley Chisholm says, fight the good fight, you would be so proud.
You know, actually, in her book, that was the name of Shirley Chisholm's book. In 1973, it was called The Good Fight. And she reflected on why she ran for president, writing, quote, "The next time a woman runs, or a Black or a Jew or anyone from a group that the country is not ready to elect to its highest office, I believe he or she will be taken seriously from the start. The door is not open yet, but it is ajar." What did her campaign symbolize to you?
I mean, that's the perfect quote to take out of that book. And that book was, as you know, about the experience of that 72 campaign. Mm-hmm. I think exactly that, you know, that first of all, to be the first at something, there is no blueprint. You know, you're actually creating the blueprint, and thank God for people who do, because it allows us the opportunity to know that, oh my gosh, it is possible, because we're human beings, right? And most human beings, we're doing things, we're interested in things because we've seen someone else do it first. Now, people that come along, do they do it better? Hopefully, you know, that's kind of the point. Do they have more support? Hopefully, because the blueprint has already been set. But with Shirley in particular, she was doing something that, you know, a Black person and a woman, we had never seen do. And she understood that. She understood that going into it, probably won't win, but if I don't do it, then who? Someone right. has to. If not now, then when? Mm-hmm. And to have the guts to do that is remarkable. And because of that because of her understanding that it was necessary now, cut to 50 years later, you know, we have a Hillary Clinton, President Barack Obama, and all of the other Black or female politicians that ran for president or ran for a office higher than a council member. I think we can thank Shirley.
You know, there. Coming back to Congresswoman Lee, did she ever tell you the George Wallace story?
I'm not sure if it is the same story that's in the film, because I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
I'm going to sort of briefly tell it, because there was a scene in the movie where she's sitting and talking with someone where she says, I would break bread with the devil if it made him more Christian. And when I heard that line, it made me instantly think of this fantastic story that both Congresswoman Lee told me, but also the daughter of George Wallace told me, about how during the presidential campaign, Shirley Chisholm took off from the campaign trail and went to visit George Wallace in the hospital. And one young Barbara Lee was mad as hell about it. It is a fantastic, story and confluence of events in history.
Yeah, and that that's mad as hell at that time, but lived a little more life and understood why and the importance of it, because Shirley went on. And Shirley Chisholm and George Wallace later in life wrote legislation that, you know, made a huge difference in our lives. And I don't think that that would have happened. I don't think, honestly, I'll even take it a step further. The guts and the nerve that Shirley had and is still able to speak so eloquently as she's delivering her message along the way, I think gained so much respect from politicians that were on the other side of the aisle that they were wanting and willing to work with Shirley to come up with so many different pieces of legislation that made changes in just our wages and equanimity. And I don't think that that would have happened if they didn't see how this woman persevered throughout this campaign. You know, they know how grueling campaigning is, just as white men, they know how grueling it is, let alone as she was so often called, a little school teacher from Brooklyn, you know. I know when Congress Lee shares that story, she understood later in life the importance of that moment.
Yeah, and George Wallace's daughter, Peggy Wallace Kennedy, has told me that, and she was in the hospital room when Shirley Chisholm visited, and she says, Peggy Wallace Kennedy says, that it was that visit, she believes that visit from Shirley Chisholm is what started the change in her own father. So Shirley Chisholm had many famous, memorable quotations, as you well know, like saying, just don't ever accept things the way they are. I'm wondering, was there a certain speech or a quote of Shirley Chisholm's that resonated most with you?
Oh, wow, there were so many. And I got the opportunity to listen to, as I said, so much Shirley that I guess, you know, you could ask me this an hour from now and something come to my mind, or, you know, a couple days from now and something else will come to my mind. But, you know, her one of her slogans on the campaign trail was unbought and unbossed. And I was reading something that she had signed and she had written a line, and she put in quotes, no gimmicks. And that just always stuck with me because it is, while it's so simple, it is who she is. She was not gimmicky, but yet she is kind of like so many people who don't know Shirley Chisholm's name, they see a picture of her and they, oh, I've seen that woman before. That was who she was, how she presented. One of the greatest orators we've probably ever witnessed. Some of her speeches, I mean, it's like listening to music. The way she goes in, and it's almost like a song. But never at any point of anything that I've listened to, any question that she was asked that she responded to, ever sounded like it was not coming from anything but her heart. And I think that's a rare thing in politicians. You asking me that question, and what popped in my mind is literally looking at her handwriting that said no gimmicks in quote. So right now, this moment, that's my favorite,
that's
Shirley.
It.
No gimmicks.
No gimmicks. So, you know, as we've said before, Shirley Chisholm was the first Black woman elected to Congress. She was the first Black person to run for a major party's presidential nomination. And so her presence alone spoke to the intersections of race and gender. Yet in the film, you capture how she didn't feel fully embraced by the civil rights movement or the women's rights movements. Why do you think she was such an outlier to those two movements?
Well, I mean, another thing that comes along with being first is that you have quite a few people that wish or think that it should be them. Mm-hmm. And I know that she was receiving a lot of that along the way, especially when it came to the black male politicians. You know, she did have support of some, but they felt like she wasn't being a good little girl and staying in line. And, you know, we've got a plan on how we're going to put our first black a politician on the ticket. And, you know, you are breaking the plan. And for her, it was like, okay, well, y'all just talking and y'all doing a lot of talking and I don't see any doing, so I'm gonna go do this. And her doing that brought a lot of, as we call them today, haters. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like that's a part of it. And I feel like when it comes to the women, we see, like when Trump got elected, there was a lot of women that voted for him, just because I think some women still have antiquated thoughts and don't feel like we can represent ourselves and the entire country with power. And so because they don't see it any other way, this is what this is how I'm gonna vote.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a combination of that, and I can probably go into a bunch of other things that I think that come along with the moment.
Mm-hmm. It's
that time, I think either women either just started being able to open up a bank account without a man, or either it hadn't started quite yet. But, you know, can you imagine? You know, I know for sure when she was running for Congress, a woman couldn't open a bank account without
her husband's signature.
Without her husband's signature.
I mean, bananas.
And here she is in this space running for office, you know. That's like, how dare you? And that makes, you know, for sometimes when it's something you've never seen or heard or smelled before, it's just so foreign that your head spins. It can't be. It's, you know, like you put in a different code into the matrix. And so everything starts going crazy. And you see the glitch and the cat comes back a couple of times. Like what's happening? I think there was a lot of that, you know?
Oh, yeah. And you know what, Regina? There is a scene, another scene in the movie that sort of speaks to this. And it's the one where she's walking through the halls of Congress. And there's a white member of Congress who, you know, stops her and says the same thing he says. She points out that, you know, he says the same thing to her every time he sees her in the week that they've been in Congress together. And it's the fact that they both make, he can't believe that she's making $42,500, the same salary as he, a white man. And she sort of reads him for filth. And it gets to something that you've said in an interview where she could curse somebody out without ever using a curse word.
Yes. Barbara Lee and her goddaughter Maria both shared that with me. So I was like, oh, yeah. So we have to make sure we find a way to get that moment in, because there is something about the idea that someone could be so swift with their tongue and their words that you actually feel cursed out and you haven't, there was not one curse word uttered. That's powerful to me. So there was never a moment where someone could say that she was disrespectful, right? Even though they felt, huh, disrespected. I'm sure his head was spinning. And there were a lot of exorcism moments for a lot of those white male politicians at that time, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. They're like, how dare you speak to me speak to me in that way. I got to ask you one more question about Shirley Chisholm before I ask some of my fangirl questions. What do you think defines Shirley Chisholm's legacy?
Well, one, I think that the Barbara Lee is just a kind of tangible, walking, talking example of or representation of Shirley's legacy. But I think Kamala Harris also is. I feel like if I was just going to put it into words, she, as they say, spoke truth to power, and just her life and time in Congress shows that when you just drop a pebble in the water, how it just reverberates, it just ripples out. She is an example of, and I keep wanting to say living example, but that she's still alive. My hope is that that there are going to be youth that are inspired when they see Shirley's story. If it's just two or three that are inspired to want to use their voice and become part of the political process, not just the voters. But you see, I did this because unfortunately I have no desire to run for office. However, I am a great boots on the ground supporter for those and there are some young politicians right now who make me feel like they have this this new energy and something in them that can spark growth in people. Growth is change to me. That's what I hope happens when people see. And that those who don't have the gumption to want to run for, and when I say run for office, I'm talking about like those local positions that really affect our day-to-day life, right? Even more than a president, you know, your council members and all of that really determine how your day-to-day life is looking, feeling. I just hope the younger people that are out there, that they are also people my age, that they feel that we are supporting them and we are boots on the ground and we believe in their ability to affect change.
We got about 90 seconds left. Now, okay. I loved you in If Beale Street Could Talk. I thought you were fantastic in The Harder They Fall, but perhaps my favorite movie that you're in that I put on whenever I need to have a movie I know on in the background while I'm writing, Enemy of the State. I just love you in that movie. Of all the movies you've done and television shows, which one's your favorite?
That is always so tough whenever I'm asked that question, because I'm blessed enough to have done a lot for a long time. So I always end with my favorite is the one that I'm working on now.
Okay. That, you know, that is actually a fabulous segue, and a great way. So what are you working on now real quick?
I am working on, I'm wrapping up in the final stages, for, a show that I produce with David E. Kelly, that is called A Man in Full. It is a book adaptation of Tom Wolfe's book, A Man in Full. It's a mini series that stars Jeff Daniels and Diane Lane and Tom Pelfrey and William Jackson Harper. I mean, it is an amazing cast, Lucy Liu. So I'm really excited about that. And that comes out a little later in the year, I think around the summer or end of spring. I have to check the dates, but we're in our final stages of wrapping that all up. And so, yeah, it's exciting. I directed three of the episodes along with Tommy Shalami. We kind of powered up and split the three episodes up and just had a great time. And, you know, I'm excited about that.
Am I right in remembering, did you direct an episode or more than a few episodes of Watchmen?
No, I didn't direct any episodes of Watchmen. Whoo, that was a heavy lift. I would have, I don't know if you'd be speaking to me right now if I tried to direct and star in that. That was,
that was
a big one. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was good too. There's nothing you're in that I don't like. Regina King, Academy Award winning actress and star of the movie Shirley. Thank you so much for coming to K-Part on Washington Post Live.
Oh, thank you, Jonathan. Thank you so much for having me and making me feel good.
Next time, I want to see you in person.
Yes.
We'll make that happen. All right.
Thanks for listening to K-Part. It's edited by Nick Roberts. We'll have new episodes for you every Thursday. I'm Jonathan K-Part. You can find me on Twitter at KpartJ.